Blog Talk Radio.
All right. If you guys are listening, we are live. We had some technical difficulty. It got sorted out. Elliot,
Hello?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, man. All right. According to this, it shows a song is playing, but it's not, so I don't hear it. You don't hear it, do you?
I don't hear it over the phone.
This is some crazy, crazy crap. All right. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and make some posts. There it goes. Now it's going.
Way down south in the fires and the swamp, where the moss grows thick and the gators like a jump, lives a thing of legend, a big old monster. The Rougarou's real and he's out to get you. Better run.
Guys, thanks for tuning in. I deeply apologize for the delay in starting the show. The site did some crazy, crazy stuff. It came on and kicked me off as being already recorded after only 5 seconds. So yeah, naturally, you would think that I'd be able to get back in during my airtime. But no, it wouldn't let me do that, so I had to make some calls and contact some people and we had to go into the site and completely redo everything and get it back to where I can get back in. Whew. So anyway, Very, very frustrating. I was very, very fearful that I would have to reschedule the show for another day this week. I didn't want to have to do that. I'm glad that I didn't. What we're going to do is we're going to get things going. I had everything all laid out the way I wanted it to go. Of course, that didn't quite work that way. So we're still going to get things going. I have with me tonight Elliot Guidry. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to get over the frustration of what just happened. I have Elliot Guidry with me. He is with the upcoming show, Swamp Monsters. Now, Swamp Monsters was originally scheduled to air tomorrow night on Destination America. It got moved to next Thursday night on Discovery Channel. I'm really looking forward to talking to him a little bit later. We're also going to have Michael Hall call in. He's with the movie Something in the Woods. That's going to be a great movie. Great update. There's a couple more updates that me and Michael are going to share with you guys, and I think you're going to like what we got going on. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring Elliot on, and I'm still trying to work a few angles, get everything going. I'm trying to get everything posted to let everyone know that the show is actually on the air now. So I'm going to go ahead and get Elliot on. Elliot is, you guys will see. Elliot, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, man.
How's it
going,
man? I'm doing good. I mean, I guess I'm doing a little better than what you had to deal with a little bit earlier.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. I was about ready to throw something, buddy. I'm telling you, man. You know how those coon asses are with a temper. So I was about ready to throw something there. But luckily...
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that if it can go wrong, it probably will go wrong.
it did. And, you know, I was frustrated for a moment, mostly because I couldn't get a hold to the right people that I want to. Finally, I did. And, well, here we are, you know, better late than never, I suppose.
Yeah, man. We're really excited that we got moved, even though it was going to premiere this Friday. We're going to premiere next Thursday, like you said, on the Discovery Channel. And that's Thursday, August 28th, and it's going to be at 10 o'clock Eastern and Pacific, 9 o'clock Central. And I encourage everyone to share and tag at Discovery or hashtag Swamp Monsters in any post about the show or anything cryptid. And the Grunch episode will premiere on that Thursday.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit if we can. And, you know, I'm still trying to get my head together over everything that just happened, and I'm sure you are. I'm from South Louisiana myself, Morgan City. I know of a few of the cryptids down there. I've never heard of the Grunch. Can you tell us what that is?
Well, the Grunch is actually more of a New Orleans cryptid, and I don't know if you're familiar with the voodoo priestess Marie Laveau. She was very popular in the 1800s, and people were enamored with, you know, everything that she was about and, you know, her lore. And supposedly she took the devil's baby and performed this ritualistic surgery, and somehow out of a couple of body parts, this new cryptid called the Grunch was formed. And it's describes as a somewhere around 3 feet tall. Some people say it's humanistic, but has horn-shaped ears. It's scaly like a dog, dingy fur. Makes a loud screeching noise, and it's almost like a mix between a bird and a primate. The noise that it makes, and we know that it's a carnivore. I mean, it likes to feast on animals. And it's like the Cajun Chupacabra, essentially, what we what we refer to it as the Cajun Chupacabra. And we didn't know it was a pack animal, but soon found out that it was. So there's more than one of these out there.
Okay, I'm so stoked about this show. As you know, I've had previously Mountain Monsters and those guys on, but you know, your show really kind of touches home for me because I'm from South Louisiana, you know, and I'm really interested in seeing what you guys do. I'm going to have what I'm going to do, and see, this was all supposed to be pre-planned. I was supposed to have my buddy Johnny as a co-host with me. He's on line right now. I'm going to bring him on. And again, Elliot, man, I mean, you know, you and I have talked. I apologize for all this. I know it's crazy.
Hey, man, like I said, don't worry about it. I'm not offended in any way. I'm actually I'm honored to be on your show. I'm here to let everybody know that that we're out here to seek research about these cryptids that exist in the swamp. And look, my cast and I, we're a group of guys from the Bahia. We've lived all our lives south of I-10 in Louisiana. We grew up together, went to high school together. I mean, we're best of friends. And that's what I think is real unique about our crew, that we know the lay of the land out here. We're very familiar with boats. And we're just out here to try to help the people in the area. When they see something, we want to find out what they see. And we want to do that research. And I think that it brings a little bit of, you know, you see the camaraderie that we have on film, and I think that it's us having a good time. I mean, you get to see the Cajun culture and how we like to cook, and you know, we like to play cards, and everything that we like to do is worked into there, because I mean, that's what we do anyway. You know, this is just another avenue that I guess that people could see what we actually want to do in the swamp, and we want to protect the swamp, because really our goal is that we want to hope to identify and research these cryptids in the swamp while at the same time bringing awareness to the critical problem of the wetland loss. Because if there's wetlands...
Okay, we got feedback. Johnny, are you on? Are you on with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we got a little bit of feedback coming up. I don't know if it's from you or maybe one of the other callers that called in. I think it's cleared up now, though. I'm sorry, Elliot.
Yeah, I was. Go ahead.
You got me?
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. Tonight
it's all right. No, I was just saying, like, we have a real problem of the wetland loss. And if our wetlands go by the wayside, then these cryptids will have no place to live. And that's one of the problems that we're running into right now, is that we have some people that say that they see them real close to civilization. And that kind of it's fearful for our people, and we want to be able to protect our people. I mean, if you look at the wetland loss that happens, 90% of all the wetland loss happens in Louisiana, and more than half of it actually happens in the Barataria-Terrebonne estuary, where we're all from. So it really hits home for us.
Well, you know, I think that is when issues are going to arise. That is when things are going to go wrong, is when we lose the natural habitats for these cryptids and they start encroaching, or we start encroaching, excuse me, more on their natural habitats. And that's when people are going to bump heads with them. That's when things are going to go a little south.
Yeah, and like I was saying, I mean, just in Louisiana, we lose about 30 square miles of wetlands a year. I mean, that translates to about a football field every half an hour. it's just a massive amount of land that's just getting lost because of all kinds of different things, hurricanes. There was canals dug that no one has taken care of the wetlands since then, levees that have been built so that cities can be protected. I mean, hey, when you don't have the sediment that keeps getting deposited in these areas, you lose the wetlands. And I'm actually in Grand Isle, which is right now I have a place out here, and this is the only inhabited barrier island that we have left in Louisiana. And it's one of the most beautiful places in the world, in my opinion. I mean, Grand Isle is another home to me, and I can't imagine it going by the wayside. But I look out, and there's so many places that, hey, I was there whenever I was a kid, and now I go, and it's a lake. You know? So
yeah.
where are these things? Where are these creatures going to live? I mean.
Well, you know, as far as Louisiana goes, you know, there's so much going on down there. In fact, you know, there's a hurricane headed our way right now. That'll, you know, supposed to be here sometime next week. But that, you know, because Louisiana is basically marsh, you know, from the Gulf all the way in a good ways. These hurricanes, the tidal surge just goes right through there, and it really takes out a lot of the coastline.
And what happens is when you don't have those wetlands to protect the inland, and they go by the wayside, the inland gets hit that much harder every time.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, most people, you know, they remember Katrina, but hell, I was there when Andrew went through. And, yeah, that was pretty rough in itself.
What I keep telling people, it's not if another hurricane comes. It's when another hurricane comes, because they will come.
Oh, yeah.
How you prepare for it. And we have things at our disposal as man has things at his disposal. Hey, I can hop in a car and I can get out of Dodge. But hey, if you're surviving out there in the swamp, it's kind of difficult.
That's right. That's right. So let's get focused on the show. Now, you guys are now going to be on Discovery Channel next Thursday night, 8 Central, right?
No, it's actually going to be 10 o'clock Eastern and Pacific, 9 Central.
Okay. All right. All right. So we're going to, you know, make sure. See, that's the whole reason, you know, guys, that, you know, I couldn't push this show to next week, because, you know, we want everyone to watch the show, you know, not listen to us here on the radio. So I had to do it tonight. I had to do it this week. So when everything went crappy earlier, and it completely kicked me off the system, yeah, I was like, man, you know, I was really, really stressing, and I'm still trying to come down from it all right now, and get my head back into the game. You know, there's so much I want to talk to you about. I've got Johnny on the air with us. Johnny, you're there, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Johnny.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Johnny runs the team over in Northeast Texas.
Hi, Elliot. Nice to meet you, man. How's it going?
Going great.
You have any questions? Want to know a little bit more about the show?
Well, that's what. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll let Brian handle that, but I just am here, kind of helping him out. So.
Yeah, that's what I want to get into, Elliot. You know, your season starts next week. You know, I know, you know, from talking to you, from talking to the people at Destination America, it's not gonna be a very long season. Can you give us an idea of what you guys are gonna be showing, and what cryptids you're actually gonna be going looking for?
Well, the first episode, the premiere, like I said, is gonna be about the Grunch, essentially Al Cajun Chupacabra.
The second episode is going to be about the Honey Island Swamp Monster, and which is like our Cajun Bigfoot. And the third episode is going to be about the Rougarou, which is our Cajun werewolf. And I'll go into a little bit more detail, if you'd like me to, about each cryptid.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. The Honey Island Swamp Monster, like I said, is like our Cajun Bigfoot. It's like 6 to 8 foot tall, and it has three toes, where it's possibly amphibious, because I believe it had to adapt to the environment, to the swamp.
That makes sense.
It's got dingy pale fur and long facial hair. Everyone that we've talked to have said it has long facial hair, and it stinks. And it possibly lives in families or pods, that there's more than one of them out there. And it actually marks trees to show its dominance. That's what we've heard, and that's what we've seen. I mean, it's you have to see more in the episodes to find out more. But
hell, man, that sounds like some of my ex-in-laws. They live down there in Louisiana.
But actually, the Rougarou, which you played that intro song, the Rougarou Shuffle, which is one of our favorite bands, Not New in the Wild Matus, they had the Rougarou Shuffle, and it explains about the Cajun werewolf, or the Rougarou. And almost everybody who lives in South Louisiana has heard about this cryptid. And
I mean, even beyond South Louisiana, because, you know, my buddies Gene St. Gene and Jeff Byers, they're with the Creature Replica Action Figures. They're putting out that Rougarou action figure, which you called in last week and talked to them, and you know, you saw the figure, and I know, man, from talking to you, you know, in private, you love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great depiction of the Rougarou, and like I said, it's just one of those things that everybody from South Louisiana has heard of, the Rougarou, this Cajun werewolf. And we've heard that it's a part man, part wolf, it's spirit-like, it's a shapeshifter, and it's an evil spirit, and it could be 7 to 8 foot tall, man by day, dog by night, but could morph into something else. Like I said, a shapeshifter. And has this terrible odor, and we've heard stories that salt stuns it or hurts it. So we know that that's another one that we're going to be going after. And those are the three that we're actually we're looking at for these three.
I played the clip that you sent me. I posted it on my site. And you know, where the guys are trying to build the the net, and they mentioned something about the salt as well.
Yeah, well, actually, I'd like to talk to you and tell you a little bit about our cast. Actually, the guy that rolls with me, we work in two man teams a lot of times, and my partner, his name's Yak or Nicholas Sang, and he's former Army. He's a weapons expert. He's a master carpenter. He's a trap builder. And he's a bit of a loose cannon, but if this guy is on your team, you're very lucky, all right? He's so loyal. I mean, he would take a bullet for you. And honestly, he actually saved my brother's life when we were about 10, 11 years old. My brother wrecked on a three-wheeler. He picked him up off the back road, and everybody from the bayou knows where the back road was whenever we were growing up, and threw him on the back of his three-wheeler, brought him back to the house, and he kept complaining about his side. My dad took him to the hospital, and he had a ruptured spleen, and he was about to die. So,
wow.
You know, I thank him every day that he saved my brother's life. And Nacho, who's another character who's kind of like a wild man, and his name is Jeremy Nacio. He's been a boat captain for years, and he knows the Louisiana waterways like the back of his hand. He's a great guy to have on your team, and he's a researcher like I am, where he wants to actually get video evidence of these cryptids. So we actually we use things to try to get video evidence of these cryptids in the wild. And last but not least, my buddy Burik, who's Adam Morgan. And if people don't know what Burik means, it means your belly button in French. And we use a lot of Cajun French in our show, and you'll see that. Cajun French is part of our culture, and it it really shows who we are. And he's actually our expert tracker, and he also works on a boat, so he's very experienced with the waterways, and he's been a trapper and a hunter all his life. So that's our team. Like I said, we've all been, you know, best of friends for as long as I can remember, and we're a bunch of Cajun guys trying to go out there and protect the community. I mean, we've started this group called BEAST, which is the Bayou Enforcement Agency for Supernatural Threats. So if anybody has any concerns in their area, they can contact us. And I have a Facebook page put out there, so anybody could message me or post me if they have any concerns in their area, and we'll do investigations.
That's awesome. And of course, you know, you and I talk privately quite often, actually. And like I've told you before, if you ever get up this way, man, let me know. You got my phone number. Give me a call. I'd love to get you out there with me. And, you know, hey, I go through your area probably once or twice a year. And I'd love to get up with you also.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we can make that happen. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I consider myself the leader of the group. I'm more like a big brother to these guys. I'm a little bit older, you know, not much older, but 1 or 2 years older than them. And I had the advantage of actually going to school. I got my degree from LSU in economics, and actually, my grandfather was a shrimper his whole life, and when he passed away, he gave me a little bit of money, and I was able to use that money to go get my captain's license, and I became a boat captain, and I'm very thankful for that. And I've been hunting and fishing all my whole life. My dad taught me how to hunt and fish, just like my grandpa did. Hell, my mom and dad gave me a shotgun whenever I was 6 years old for Christmas. I was hunting by myself when I was 9. I had a younger brother that needed to start hunting with my dad, so I was on my own. And heard many of things whenever I was growing up that were unexplained in the wild, and I had no explanation for them. And there was always stories of, hey, you know, this could be out there, you better watch yourself. So it kind of got us all interested in, let's try to find the truth if we can and use our skills and our knowledge of the area in order to go and seek the truth. And honestly, it's one of those things that we're having fun doing it. I mean, if it's not fun, why do it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, everything you just described, I mean, I was raised by my grandparents down in South Louisiana. And everything you described, I mean, that's typical Southern Louisiana upbringing. I mean, you know, we hear about these stories quite often. You know, my grandparents, they would tell us stories, which would be kind of about the Honey Island Swamp Monster, but they didn't call it that. They call it the Mongoloid. At that time, you know, when I was young, I'm sure that's just a name that they came up with for it. But the descriptions were fully the Cajun Sasquatch. That's what the descriptions were. And you know, as far as the fishing, and we learned that. I mean, hell, you know, I mean, the minute you're old enough to walk, you're out there on the boat, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we were raised that you are over here so that, look, you live in a place like Louisiana, you learn how to live off the land. you go out there and fish and shrimp and crab and grow your own vegetables. And, hey, it's one of those things where you take pride in, hey, I can go out there and harvest food, and I could feed myself, and guess what? It's good stuff. I mean, that's one thing that guys, like our whole crew, all of my friends, we take pride in knowing how to cook. It's one of those things that men in South Louisiana, they love to cook, and they know how to, they're great cooks. So we have no problem for cooking for our guests, having a get-together. Hey, when a bunch of guys get together, we cook and
oh, yeah.
Cajun food.
I mean, dude, just your accent alone. Now, I haven't lived in Louisiana since 97, but just your accent alone is bringing back just so many memories, you know, growing up there and coming up. And when I left there, I went and I went on to manage restaurants, and so many times, so people are like, they're shocked at how well, and it's not just from managing restaurants, it's from, you know, living down there, how well I cook. And, you know, to me, and I'm sure for you too, for us, it's natural, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, what else? We didn't have anything else to do whenever we were growing up. It was,
we're surprised at men who can't cook. You know, that surprises me.
I'm not going to say that the women down here don't know how to cook, because my mom is an excellent cook, and
we
both learned from the best, which was my grandmother that passed, and she was the best cook I ever knew. And, I mean, it's one of those things that, like I said, it's culture down here. It's passed down from generation to generation. And, nobody wants to lose what they have in that culture of cooking.
I tell you what, last week when you posted those crabs, man,
made me a little crab fricassee, and man, it was. I actually went catch those crabs on the beach here in Grand Isle, and balled them up, and peeled them up, and made me a little. Well, a fricassee is like a stew, and made me a little stew with some shrimp and some crab, and man, I ate on that for a few days, and trust me, a lot of my friends ate on it too.
I tell you what, I haven't had crab stew since I was little, and man, when I saw those crabs, that's the first thing that popped in my head was my grandma's crab stew. You know?
Yeah, no, because our grandmothers used to leave the crabs whole like that. You know, take the legs off and just leave the crab, and hey, it's not like they wanted to sit there and pick the crab meat the whole time. I mean, hey. You get in there and you go pick your own crab meat if you want to eat it.
I remember so vividly at a very young age picking up that crab body and sucking the juice out of the leg, you know, where the legs would go.
Oh, yeah.
And it's good memories, man, good memories. I tell you what, you know, I'm really, Elliot, I'm really excited to be on board with you guys from the beginning of this. Because I really feel, and I've told you this before, I really feel like there's a lot of potential with this show.
And we feel the same way. I mean, it's one of those things that we wouldn't get involved in it if we didn't have the passion for it, and we have the passion for it, and you know, I want to give credit to a lot of people that has helped us along the way. I mean, we couldn't have done this on our own. And, I mean, friends like Mike Falgu and Nick Archer and Toby Melisson, and even our production company, Baruna Entertainment, they've helped us along the way, and we're very thankful of that.
Oh, yeah, man. It's like, you know, when you and I talked yesterday, we discussed how limitless your options seem to be regarding this, because you can go, you know, you can go anywhere there's a swamp, man. You know, you can go up to Massachusetts, you can go up to Georgia, you know, hell, you can even go into a total other country, say Amazon,
yeah,
you know, and investigate cryptids there.
If it takes us there, then we're willing to take the challenge, and Another person I'd like to thank is Joel Grimmio, because really without him this wouldn't be possible. I mean, he's actually the one that heard what we were doing, and he's been friends with me. He's one of my best friends. And he said, well, I have a friend of a friend that knows some TV producers. Y'all got to be on TV, dude. This is awesome what y'all trying to do. Because we were out there trying to find out the truth about the Ruguru. And it just developed into, hey, let's take a good look at it.
Thanks,
Joel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely gracious also because, you know, there's so many times, aside from back when Monster Quest used to be on, they did a couple episodes, you know, but for true investigative quality, no one's really gone down there in South Louisiana and looked for these cryptids. You know, you get these shows like, hell, what was that one? Cryptid, where it's all fake and there's supposed to be a death and all. You know, you get these shows that are just ridiculous. But, you know, to have a research team down there looking, I think that's a first, to be honest with you.
And I think that it could possibly be the last. And it pains me to say that because, like I said, if we don't do something about this area, then we might be the only people that actually go into the swamps and bayous out here to look for these cryptids. Because we need to let everybody know that this is not just Louisiana's wetland. This is America's wetlands that we're talking about. I mean, you saw what happens. Look, Katrina comes, and this place gets decimated. What happened to the price of gas, oil, everything? I mean, it affects America, and that's what we want to let everybody know.
Well, see, that's the problem. You know, us being from there and living there, and Johnny, you've traveled in and out of Louisiana enough yourself.
Yeah.
There is numerous, even in a swamp, there is numerous drill platforms. I worked tugboats for a while. I worked offshore for a while, and believe me, there is numerous oil platforms even in a swamp. You have natural gas. You have oil. They're drilling it right there.
Yeah, and they have canals that were dug to get
specifically. That's right.
All of these wells, and those canals have now turned into lakes because of all of the wetland loss that we have been incurring over the years.
Well, you know, like I said, I haven't been down there since '97, and
I guarantee you, it's changed a lot since '97 because
I've been down there. I've visited, but I haven't lived there since '97. I haven't been back in the swamps or in the bayous since then. But, you know, before I moved from there, you know, when I worked offshore, we took a helicopter out to the platform, and you don't get a scope for it until you're up in the air and you're looking down. It is,
yeah, you get a bird's eye view. It is different, huh?
It was a spider web of just canals and marshes and pathways, and it was gorgeous, believe it or not. But, you know, you're saying now that it doesn't even look like that anymore.
I mean, in some areas it doesn't. And in our area, it only gets worse and worse every year. I mean, like I said, more than half of all the loss happens in the place where we're all from. And it's just a big problem. And like I said, places that I used to hunt when I was a kid, and there was large areas of marsh and trees and land, and now it's a lake. And then you go to another area, hey, you got marsh here, but you don't know if it's going to be there 10 years from now.
Well, I'll tell you something that bothered me the last time I visited there is all the damn casinos that are now were used to be good prime wildlife areas. You know, and you got all these casinos down there, you know, and I'm talking South Louisiana, you know, down around Morgan City and everything. It's just a casino boom, and I'm like, man, I remember when this was woods and we used to go four wheeling through there, and it's you know, it's sad.
Yeah. Well, I have no comment on casinos. I don't gamble, so but I have nothing against, I mean, oil. I think it's one of those things that is very important to Louisiana. I'm very passionate about the oil field because I believe that it allows our state to sustain itself. I mean, it gives so many jobs to people in this area that we need oil, and we need oil field jobs.
A majority of the work in Louisiana, well, I know for a fact in South Louisiana, is in the oil field or shipyards or the boat industry.
Yeah, and
you know,
that's
where it happens.
All comes back to Louisiana, and if you ever look at the Louisiana state flag, it's a brown pelican, and it's carrying its chest and feeding its young. It's essentially the same thing that happens to Louisiana, that we build levees to protect the city, and we dig canals so that we can get to the oil, but yet we're killing the state in order to feed the people. And I think that's how Louisiana is, and it's very tough to know that it's happening and that all of this, the area is going by the wayside, but I mean, what are we to do? We have to be able to drill. We have
phrase,
to be able to go for oil. Everybody
phrase,
needs oil.
Yeah, the phrase comes to mind. You know, you're cutting off your leg to save your foot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's pretty much what it is here. Well, look, Elliot. You know, I know you can't stay on long. It's already later than what we originally had planned.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm taking your whole slot. I mean, thank you for having me on and. I mean, we'll be in touch soon,
Real quick, I want to talk about a little bit about the show before I let you go.
Okay.
Do you know, have you gotten confirmation, and you might not even be able to say this, new episodes beyond this season?
I'm not at liberty to talk about that right now because I really don't know what's going on.
Well, let's hope. That's certainly hope.
I mean, we're encouraged to know that we're going to be out there doing this and trying to help people regardless of what happens. And
right.
We want to be a voice of the person that might not – hey, this might give an avenue for someone that was scared to talk about it to actually give us some information. And that's what we're here for.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. You know, in my area, I've got to figure out ways to get locals in my area to come forth, and that's something I've been trying to work on here recently. But the show is going to air next Thursday at 9 Central on
Correct.
Discovery Channel.
And the Grunch episode is going to be our premiere, and like you said, next Thursday, August 28th, at 10 o'clock Eastern and Pacific, 9 o'clock Central, on the Discovery Channel. So I encourage everyone to share it, let everybody know, and if you talk about it on your Facebook page or on Twitter, hey, tag it at Discovery, hashtag Swamp Monsters, in any post or anything cryptid. And if you have something that's cryptid and you tag it, I'll be able to see it.
Well, yeah, no doubt. And you're a member over there on my group, the Onyx Knights Paranormal Cryptid page. Feel free to promote as much as you need. You know, I'm definitely going to get you guys back on, regardless of what happens. You know, as far as the show goes, I'm hopeful. I think that it's going to take off. I'm going to do everything I can to help that take off. And you know, you got my number. You know, stay in touch. I'm gonna definitely get you back on, and hopefully get your butt up here To do some.
I mean, I travel out to Mississippi sometimes, and I travel out to Texas. I actually like to stay in Louisiana a lot, but it's only because my friends and family are basically out here. I mean, I do have family in Texas, and I do visit some friends out in Mississippi, but I like Louisiana. Lots of people from Louisiana really like Louisiana.
We got a caller calling in. If you have time, we're gonna take this one call real quick, and then I'm gonna come on with Michael Hall. But one thing I want to mention, you know, our group is getting together in October, over in Falk, Arkansas, over around where the Legend of Boggy Creek took place. We're all gonna get together and go on an expedition over there. Man, if you can make it, hell, let us know. You know.
I will let you know. I will definitely be in touch with you.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and check out this call and bring him on. Hello, who am I speaking with? Hello?
Hey, you talking to me, brother?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Jeff.
Oh, hey, Jeff. Jeff is one of my team members and a partner, buddy. As well, Jeff, you have anything you want to ask Elliot?
No, man. I look forward to seeing the show, man. I'm like most people. I got deep roots down there in South Louisiana. My wife's people are all from Hackberry and Sulphur and all down around, you know, in that area. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the show. I was hanging on here listening to the show on my phone, man, so enjoying it, and Elliot, man, I wish y'all the best.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and having a fellow Louisianian giving me, excitement about the show, it really pumps up some, you know, a guy from here, you know?
Oh, man, I look forward to it. I love watching anything that has to do with Louisiana, you know? I was into the old what the hell is the name of it where they hunt the alligators? Yeah, I was watching that show. Yeah, I was watching that show for a while, and I just had to stop watching it because it got to where it was just seemingly too fake, you know, too crazy. Even, you know, I'm related to Troy Landry, him and my grandpa are cousins, but you know, the show just got a little bit. Kind of the same old thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, and what I want to tell you about our show is that each episode is independent from each other. So it's not like, hey, if I missed the premiere, I'm not going to be able to catch up on what's going on. Each one is independent. Each episode features a different cryptid. So don't feel like you missed out if you didn't catch the first one. Hey, you know, you could pick up on the second one, and no.
Hey, you can say that. I'm not gonna say that bullshit. Y'all need to watch this first one. Y'all need to watch this show from the start. The only way that we're gonna
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that. Hey, you know, it's a different one every time. So don't feel like you missed out because you missed the premiere. Is what I'm getting at. But hey. Trust me, I want everybody to watch the premiere because,
hey,
they're going to have a lot more access being on Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I don't beat around. I call it how it is. Y'all need to watch the show so we can continue and we can have more episodes, bottom line.
Oh, yeah, I'm all about it. I mean, trust me, I want everybody to watch the premiere because, hey, it's something that we're real passionate about, and you're going to be able to see the passion that we have on TV and the great group of guys that I do this show with. And I'm so lucky in my life in order to be able to do this type of stuff.
No doubt.
And
no
I
doubt.
Want to continue doing it.
Well, Elliot, I appreciate you coming on. I'm going to definitely get you and some of your team members on in the future. It's been a pleasure, man. I'm fortunate to have you as a friend, and anything you need, anything I can do to help, just let me know. It's not a problem. You know, if you ever want to come back on to plug something, it's not a problem. You know, guys, check out Elliot's website on Facebook. It's called Beast. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, Bayou Enforcement Agency for Supernatural Threats.
Yeah, check it out on Facebook. Go over there, give them a like, follow them closely, because I really, really think that this show has a lot of potential, you know, and just your passion that you have, Elliot, for the conservation of the wetlands, that alone is admirable.
Yeah, and like I said before, hey, the main focus is trying to protect the habitat, because if we don't, then no one will ever be able to research these cryptids.
That's right. That's right. All right, brother. Well, I appreciate it. You stay in touch, and you take care. Definitely.
All right, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Definitely give me a holler sometime. Hell, I might even call you before the show. Or after.
All right, man. Take you. What you say?
I said I might call you either before the show or after next week.
Yeah. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it, and good talking to you.
All right, brother. You take care.
All right.
Johnny, you still with me?
I'm with you, brother.
I'm sorry. Man, tonight's been a crazy, crazy night, you know,
yeah.
With everything going on. I've got Michael Hall waiting. He's in queue, you know, and it's so... It's so much later than I wanted everything to be taking place, you know, and I feel really bad about that, because I've got these guys on later than what they originally prepared to be on for.
Yeah, that's just one thing that was beyond your control, man.
Oh, man. You know, I can't sit here. I want to, but I can't sit here and criticize the host site. I want to,
yeah.
But it's probably best if I don't. But it was, believe me, guys, it was something completely out of my control. And it's definitely something that I'm going to be watching very, very closely in the future, because, well, I'm going to bring Michael Hall on, and we're going to fill you guys in on what's going on.
Cool.
Michael, you there?
I'm here, man.
Hey, buddy, thanks for hanging on and bearing with us.
Hey,
Mike, how's it going?
Hey, Johnny, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
Now, for those that don't know, Michael is also a member of our team. He's also an actor involved in many films. One that's about to come out in September, and that is Skookum, The Hunt for Bigfoot. But also, he's working currently on another film called Something in the Woods. Michael, give us an update, if you will, and we're going to get to discussing some of the other things that is about to take place with us. And yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Last weekend we had our big. Cast and crew kind of a wrap party in Jefferson, but you know, we're trying to raise money to finish the editing process of the film, Something in the Woods, and we've got a rough cut or a rough edit basically in place, so that when we get this turned over to a professional editor and get for the color corrections and the audio and all the sound effects and different things, he doesn't have to go through and piece everything together for us. We've pretty much got all of the scenes that we want used and the different cuts that we want used, and then all he'll have to do is go in and tighten everything up. But what was really cool was we had this gathering of the cast and crew, the members, the people that could make it back. I actually had to go because we had to reshoot a couple of scenes. Because it was done digitally, we had these scenes that just were corrupted, and one of them actually just disappeared. So we had to go back and reshoot a couple of scenes and do some pickup shots and things like that. And it was really a great weekend. When we got to the party, there was a kind of a surprise for us all. They had a trailer that they were working on to show us. And I have never been in a situation where we had a trailer that's probably at most a minute long and have a standing ovation.
Wow.
So it was really cool. We were excited, and when they showed the trailer, when it ended, I mean the place just erupted. I mean there was it was they showed it twice because they were like show it again, and it was our first chance as a group to see some of the scenes cut together, and all I can say is wow. When people see this, it's going to flip their minds. They're going to wig out over it, because one of the things that was really cool that we really strove for was David Ford, who was the writer, contacted me a lot, knowing that I am a researcher. We had the discussions a lot about certain things that should go in the script and certain things that we should just walk away from. And the one thing I kept telling him was, please, make this real. Don't make this a movie monster. But don't make it Harry from Harry and the Hendersons. Don't make it a cartoon, but don't make it, you know, this thing isn't pulling people's arms out of the sockets and stomping on them and, you know, biting their heads off. You know, it's not that. It's not a movie monster.
Right.
But it's also not a cartoon character. So everything that you see from a standpoint of a researcher, and I think the most hardened, the most dedicated researchers out there will watch this film and appreciate it for what it is. I really believe that, because they're not making fun of the situation. It's not, and everything that you find in research when you go out in the field is going to be depicted in the film.
That's awesome.
So that was the update for the film. I was just going to say real quick that the trailer should be ready to be put out on YouTube this over the weekend, and we will be posting that out, and we will be putting it on our fundraiser site and on the Facebook page and sharing it like crazy with everybody.
Yeah, definitely our site as well, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, John. You were going to ask me something, or
yeah, I wanted to ask if do y'all have like a premiere when it's all finished for like the cast and crew to go see it before everybody else sees it?
We're going to actually have a premiere for the film. We are shooting for. Pardon me. We are hopeful to have it ready to premiere sometime in, this is what David said, and I don't know that we can do this, but we're going to keep faith that we can have it ready to premiere in November, sometime in November, in Jefferson.
That's awesome.
And I told him, I said, you know, I think that's cool, but let's let's be realistic. If we can't get the fundage together to pay the professional editor to tighten all this stuff up and make it look really cool by adding on the music and the sound effects and the and the credits and the titles and all that stuff, everything that you would see in a movie. Let's be realistic. If we can't get it done by November, we need to skip December and shoot for January. Because having a premiere in December, you're talking about Christmas holidays. There's people already doing a lot of traveling and everything, and so let's just hold over until January. Trust me, I'm the last person in the world that wants to wait to see a finished product. But
right.
I want to see it done right. So
yeah,
I don't want to rush.
It's always worth it.
The main thing is
way worth it.
The main thing is getting it out there and getting it done right. I'm anxious to see images from it. Naturally, I know it wouldn't be wise to reveal the creature at this point.
No.
Yeah, I'm really anxious and really excited. And as I said, when I introduced you, Skookum, which you are in, is coming out next month. I'm going to have Debbie and Mike Woolley on the show on the 4th of September. They'll be on the show. And a lot of good shows in September. One, I've got to give you credit for Les Stroud, September 11th.
Yes, Survivor Man himself. Yes,
and that's Les Stroud. That's when I said earlier that it what happened tonight on tonight's show is something that I'm going to be watching closely. That's why, because I don't like that shit happening with anybody, and I definitely don't like it happening to have a celebrity on. I know what to do now, and I can't say I promise, but I'm gonna try my damnedest to make sure the shit doesn't happen again.
Well, you've got plenty of time between now and then, I think, to get the bugs.
You came through for us as far as Les goes, and I'm deeply, deeply appreciative of that. It also kind of helped convince my friend Michael Hawk to come on. Michael and I have been friends for a while. I did action figure for his wife for Christmas last year, and I've talked to him here and there about coming on the show, and he's kind of reluctant. But yeah, he finally agreed to come on. So we're gonna have Les Stroud, Survivor Man, and then we're gonna have Michael Hawk from Man, Woman, Wild, Lost Survivors. He's going to be on. And the goal here is, Les is just getting into the whole Sasquatch Bigfoot thing. But the goal, as far as him and Michael go, is to show you guys from a survivalist aspect how easy it really is for a cryptid or unknown hominid to survive in the wilderness.
Right. Now, Les has had many, many things happen while filming Survivor Man. He'll talk about those.
Yeah, he's discussed a couple of them recently, actually, on his show, but from what I'm understanding from you, there's more than what he had already discussed.
Right. Yeah, there's been several.
That's what we're going to get to the bottom of.
Now, the curious thing for me is the fact that most of his incidences have happened in Canada and Alaska.
Well, that's only because he hasn't been down here yet.
I'm working to remedy as well. So
I got to
kind of keep a lid on all that, but Les and I are talking about it.
Yeah, we can't we can't give too much away at this time, listeners, but we can say that it's going to be really, really, really good stuff in the future.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be very a very positive thing. Les on the 11th is going to be a cool show. And I thought, you know, and I have to apologize, man. I said all that and got everything, I asked him to do it. And he was like, yeah, sure, yeah. And then my younger son handed me his football schedule. And that very night, the 11th, is since my son doesn't live with me, he lives with his mother, and we don't live close to each other, I have to pick and choose what games I get to go to, because most of his games are further away from me than they are closer to me, and that one particular night, he's going to be right down the road from me, and I've already promised him I would be there, and I will still try to call in, but you don't
have to apologize for that. I mean, hell, you know, kiss him first.
That's my boy. So
I mean,
I got to be there.
I was hoping to get you on as co-host for that show since you set it all up.
Right.
But, you know, I understand completely. There's definitely no need to apologize. You know, I still have in queue Jeff Stewart. Jeff is another team member of – well, you guys know Jeff. And I want to bring him in because what I want to do is kind of discuss what we have going on in October.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Jeff, are you there?
Oh, I am here.
Hey, buddy, we got a little bit of background noise. We got a little bit of background noise from you, but yeah, we can hear you. Guys, October, the expedition. We are all getting together for an expedition over in Fowl.
I am so pumped.
You guys are one up on me because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, all of you have already been. I've never been. This is virgin territory for me. But it's, you know, me and Johnny, you and I were talking. This is kind of a bucket list type thing.
Yeah.
You know, for any Sasquatch researcher to be able to go and research and do an expedition over in Falk, the home of the legend of Boggy Creek, where it all started.
Yeah, you got kind of a feeling of awe when you're around there, or I do at least, just knowing what the history of the place and everything and some of the people that lived there.
Yeah. Last time I was there, it was that, it was really cool because we were at the same camp we're going to be at this time. And had a really cool thing happen. Lyle Blackburn and his wife came over to our campsite and with Smokey Crabtree, and sat around. We sat around for a couple of hours and listened to Smokey tell stories about the area and that was a highlight.
Do me a favor. Explain to our listeners, those that may not know, who Smokey Crabtree is.
Smokey is he's lived there pretty much his entire life. And if you've ever seen the original Charles B. Pierce, The Legend of Boggy Creek, you see Smokey in the beginning of the film. He talks about Smokey Crabtree, and then of course he talks about his son Travis Crabtree, and there are some interesting things there that are in the film, because that the boy that's playing Travis in the film is not Travis. That's
okay.
It's Smokey's other son, because Travis didn't want to relive some of the ridicule. He was afraid, he was afraid of getting ridiculed in things over again.
Right.
So his younger brother played him in the movie. Smokey Crabtree was responsible for all the swamp footage that you see in the beginning of the film and all that stuff that's down the swamp. Smokey was responsible for carrying Charles Pierce out into the Sulphur River bottom with the movie camera to film all that. And Smokey was also responsible for a lot of the stories that are in the film. He was responsible for getting those people, because even today, and I think, Johnny, I think you and your brother can probably attest to this, even today, the people that live in that area, they don't want to just open up and talk about things.
Yeah, that's true. And when we go there, like expedition, we don't tell people that's why we're there. Like if we're in town,
right.
there's one little place we like to go eat, and we usually got camo and stuff on when we go in there, so people probably figure we're hunting or something, but we don't go
right.
Bragging around telling everybody what we're there for. So I just, I feel I don't want to, I always have the feeling that I don't want to bother anybody when I'm there, And
right.
I can understand how a lot of them feel, some things that happen and stuff with that.
If you've ever read Smokey, he's written two or three books now.
Yeah,
and
he's written three.
You have all three?
Yeah, I've got all three. Haven't read them all yet,
I've
got all three of them.
I got his first one, and, I read, the things that he wrote about when they were filming the movie, what happened after the movie, and I'm going to tell you, there's a reason why those people that live there and have lived there all this time don't want to open up about any sightings or anything like that. Because of the literal, I don't either. The literal hell that town went through when that movie became a hit and drive-ins across America, they went through hell.
Yeah.
And I talked.
Michael, if I can, hold on to that thought. I apologize. I have to play the mandatory commercial. With everything going on, it completely slipped my mind. After that, we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the expedition. I got a few other questions I want to throw out there. Again, we can still go into archive if need be. I know it's late, and I apologize. We'll be right back after this.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the location? And you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. Experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got the cover off the 68. I fired it up and let them horses sing. A little pretty thing, a little tan leg towards a dream. But she's rocking them holy jeans. Baby, what you got going on Saturday? You know, word's got it, there's gonna be a party out of town about half a mile. Four-wheel drive and big mud tires. Musket down and wine. Oh, baby, you can find me in the back of a jacked-up tailgate, sitting around watching all these pretty things. Get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find Pete at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing started. It's my kind of party.
All right, all right. Thanks, guys, for joining us. I'm your host, Brian Sons. I know everything was crazy at the beginning of the show. I didn't even get a chance to say that. We have right now Michael Hall and my co-host, Johnny Holmes. These guys are great friends of mine. They're members of my paranormal group, cryptic group, I should say, over in the northeast Texas, Arkansas area. Earlier, we had Elliot Guidry from Discovery Channel's new hit show, Swamp Monsters, that'll be premiering next week at Thursday at 9 Central, I'm sorry. And we appreciate him coming on and spending some time with us. Right now we're talking to Michael Hall. We're talking about his movie that he's working on, Something in the Woods. But we're also talking about just us as a group and our upcoming expedition. We mentioned, you know, Les Stroud's going to be on with us on the 11th of September. On the 4th of September, I'm going to have Debbie King McMartin and Mike Woolley discussing the film Skookum, The Hunt for Bigfoot, which is coming out on the 6th of September. That'll be released. Right now, we're going to get back with Johnny and Michael. Hey guys, you're still with me?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, guys, for coming on.
Is Jeff still on too?
No, he had to reboot. He was having internet problems. He actually had to reboot. I'm thinking he's going to call back in. I'm not sure. But okay. You know, guys, I've said this so many times before, and you know, I'm going to say it now. You guys are like a family to me. You know, together. We're really, really pushing forward. We're really, really forming something great. You know, we have everyone in this this group has very unique qualities and skill sets that we all bring to the forefront. And I think, in my opinion, that is going to put us so far above and beyond anyone else. And I appreciate each and every one of you for that.
That's like Elliot.
Well, you're worth it.
We're having fun doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I wouldn't do this if I didn't have fun at it.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. You know, but more than anything, I guess what I'm trying to say is everyone involved is looking out for each other and helping each other. And that's what, you know, when I made, you know, Onyx Nights Paranormal, that's what the goal was, man, to make, to just, you know, because I look at like two heads are better than one. The more we have involved, the more we share with each other, the better everyone can move forward and take that next step.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I've been preaching that for years with Texla.
Yeah.
You know, we're a small group. We're very selective in
and we've been pushing the fact that, you know, these guys, some of the other guys in the group, they'll go off and research with other groups, and they'll go with other researchers, they'll go on other locations and everything, and it's all about the sharing of knowledge. And
that's the way it should be.
Unfortunately,
like everything, there's a lot of egos. There's just a lot of backstabbing and cutthroat stuff. I feel fortunate that we don't have that with our group, you know. And I'm very thankful. You know, I'm thankful when Johnny and I first got to talking about making the cryptid division of Onyx Knights Paranormal. I'm so thankful that Johnny was full gung ho on board with that. You know, because I really, and that's the goal is I want to expand. You know, I talked to a guy today who's interested in taking over and running a UFO, Onyx Knights Paranormal UFO division. Now, whether we call it UFO or whether we call it extraterrestrial, I don't know. But that's what, and hopefully eventually I plan to have a ghost division. Specifically for, you know, our group is specifically for cryptids. There'll be another group specifically for UFOs and another group specifically for ghosts. But combined as a whole, we have all the research material that we could ever possibly need, all the contacts that we could ever possibly need. I mean, just look how far we've come, Johnny, in this little bit of time.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and,
I mean,
you know, I'm proud to meet Michael because I've learned so much from him just in the small time that I've known him. And that just carries on with everybody else, you know.
Well, it's, you know, I don't know that I know everything or I know I've just been doing this for a while. And, you know, I have things that I've learned from the guys in my group, you know, certain ways that you when we go into the field, and like Brian and Johnny and Jeff and whoever else is going to be there in Falk, you'll see what I'm talking about when you see the organization that we put into one night's worth of work.
Yeah, because
which is one of the
for me,
that was.
You know, Johnny and I were talking. For me, I mean, it's simple for me. I can just walk out my house and go into my area. You know, I don't.
Right.
I just, you know, I don't. I just bring the basic necessities. But you guys are going to be a lot of you are going to be a long way from home. I know I will when I get there. What the hell am I saying? You know.
Yeah, and it's a different world. It is a different world when you're with a large group. And you have to have it has to be organized, and it has to flow. Everybody has to play their part, and it's sort of like a any kind of sports team analogy I can think of. You know, it's like a football team. You know, everybody's got to you know play their position, but it's really simple. It's not difficult. It's you know we lay everything out, and that's the thing I was talking to Johnny about. When he came down and we went out to the Trinity River bottoms, you know, if we can get our hands on a topo map of the Falk area where we're going to be, and we'll sit down with everybody and we'll say, okay, we'll count up how many heads we have, how many people will be there, and you know, somebody said, oh, well, you know, it's kind of a moot point if you're going to have 20 people out there. No, it's not. It just depends. I mean, if we're all camping in one area,
yeah,
that's fine. We're going to be researching away from the campsite. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have recorders and we're not going to have things available.
We're going to be spider webbing out.
Right.
Correct.
And what we'll do is we'll split up into teams of say two or three people per team, and we'll head into different areas on these nights, and we'll put out recorders, and we'll sit back and listen. We may do some manual vocals, or we'll use a call blaster, or we'll just do knocks, or we'll do something.
It's going to be a totally different. It's going to be a totally different game for me. You know, because having someone else with me is, in and of itself, it's going to be. It's going to be, you know, different.
Right.
Because I'm used to going off on my own, you know, I wouldn't say gung-ho, but, you know, going off on my own. But you guys have a totally different wildlife there than what I have here. So, you know, I'm going to – I mean, it's y'all's game. You know, it's y'all's show. I'm gonna trust in you guys to know the area and to know – you know what I'm saying? It's different when you know, for me, because I'm used to just going out there on my own and doing it, and that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just going to take a little adjustment for me.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
I promise you're going to have a blast, Brian. It's going to be great.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, guys, we mentioned earlier a couple of the guys in the group in our brotherhood, but there is a sister in the group, and I don't. And when I say sister, I'm not saying slang for African American, but Ruth Thigpen, and I hope I say her last name correctly. She is the only female at this time of our team, of our group, and I got to give props out to her as well.
I had the pleasure of meeting her in Jefferson this past weekend.
Oh wow!
Her and Brian Impey. Came and spent she came over for the morning, and we had a giant bake sale, and she hung out, and we all went to lunch, and then she headed back to Texarkana area, and Brian came over, and we went downtown Jefferson and hung out, but I did have the opportunity to meet her, and she's looking forward to coming down and being with us at Falk as well. So
now Brian is local. Brian is local to that area, correct?
Yeah. He lives in the Texarkana area.
Oh, cool. So he knows.
Well,
that's awesome.
and Johnny, you said your brother lives close by.
Yeah, he does.
The Falk
area. He's there too, and I can take you guys to where he had his sighting.
I want to see that. That would be awesome.
Let me go ahead and tell you, Brian. We've talked about this before about snake boots and stuff, and you said I'm going to make you some or whatever. You better get on it, brother. You're going to need them out there.
I will be rocking my.
I don't know what the hell I would use. I don't know what the hell I would use to make them. I thought about using, some PVC pipe. You know, and just cut it in half and drill some holes in it or something, you know. Look like Stormtrooper going through the damn woods.
You know, you can get some gaiters, what they call gaiters. They just slip on over your – you can wear regular boots, but you can, they slip over your pants kind of thing. And
That reminds me. You remember, Michael, I told you I went to Bass Pro Shop that day before we went to the Trinity River?
I got
me a pair of snake boots. So that frees up a pair of the gaiters that I had. So you can use those.
Well, there you go.
Hey.
Taken
care
of.
Y'all do realize this is my show. You're not supposed to make me look bad. You know? I mean, come on. What the hell?
No,
y'all
I'm
suck,
demonstrating.
Man, y'all suck.
I'm demonstrating our brotherhood. See, I got boots, and now I've got a set of snake guards that you can wear.
That's not demonstrating. That's not – well, I mean, I guess it may be demonstrating brotherhood. The whole rubbing it in, I guess, yeah.
Well, I mean
you're good. You know, and all the times I've been there, I've seen one snake, and it was dead. But there's, the one time
bad.
We go out without it and that stuff, they'll be all over the place.
Yeah, they're pretty bad over here in my area, and I mean, I've yet to get bit. You know, I'm pretty alert. You know, to what. Now we're going to have cameras with us too, right? Because I want to try to document as much of this as we can.
Oh yeah, everybody should. And the thing of it is, anybody that's got a cell phone, you have a camera. There's going to be camera. I know John Dickey. I want to throw out some props to a couple of the guys that are going to be there for our group.
Yeah, definitely.
John Dickey is coming in from Waco. In fact, I'm going to be riding with him up there. He's going to swing by and pick me up and head that way. And then Bruce Dinsford's coming from Dallas, Arlington area. So we're going to be, it's going to be a nice eclectic group of people. And the part of the thing of it is that when Johnny and I started talking about it was, he was wanting to learn what it is our group does or how we do it.
Yeah.
Simply based off of what we have on the website. For those who haven't been on our website, you can go to www.texlaresearch.com. That's T-E-X-L-A research.com. It's all lowercase. And you can look at the stuff that we have on there. And it's very flattering for him to ask us, So when I pitched it to the guys, they were like, yeah, sure. We can do that. We can show them what we do and kind of how we organize things and everything. The only thing that we don't have in our possession right now is a topo map of the area, so we can kind of map out, especially if things happen, in a specific spot. Where were you guys last night when you heard the vocals, or you had a visual or whatever? We can mark that on the map. Boom, this is where this happened. Okay, then we can concentrate the next night kind of in that area, more so than we normally would if we didn't have, a map. I mean, we'd do it without a map, but still, but you'll see, I was telling Johnny, there's a system in place. Especially with Bruce Dinsford. In the morning, okay, when we get out there, he'll have everything already ready to go. Everything will be prepped. We'll pick a location. He'll go out. We'll put out the recorders. He'll mark those or GPS them. And then the next morning when he goes back, he'll go right to those recorders, pick them up, come back to camp, and he'll pull out the laptop. He'll start downloading every single recorder.
Yeah.
And as he gets one downloaded, he'll pull it off. He'll pull the old battery out, and he'll put in a fresh battery for that night, and he'll set it on this on one side while this other one's downloaded. And he'll just continue to do that until he's gone through all the recorders. He'll label each one of those that he's downloaded. So he knows first it's the first night, recorder number one, location X, or whatever. And so he knows on the map, he goes, okay, that was location X, here's the first night, that way we can systematically go through everything and keep a record of everything so that we know when something happened. And then we'll have everything prepped and ready to go for the next night.
Now, you guys also carry reporters on you, right?
No, not really. Not necessarily.
Okay.
Sometimes we do, but not necessarily all the time.
Yeah, because that's usually
how I
do it.
Yeah, and I've done that too out there.
That's usually how I do it. Yeah, what I do is I got my headlamp on and I take my recorder and I stick it in the band in the back of my head so that it's up high. My clothes, it's less likelihood that it's in my pocket rubbing against my clothes. For me, that's more convenient. And I just walk around and, if it picks something up, it picks something up. I would like to do that if that's
right.
Okay with you guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you can do it. The only thing I've noticed about doing it out there is that a lot of those roads that we walk on or around, they've got this real fine gravel on them.
Yeah, I've been down that.
It makes it doubles the sound of your footsteps and everything.
Yeah,
so
it's pretty much. Yeah, it's. Well, you know, I've been down gravel roads here, and I plan on going down one here in a couple nights. But sometimes that's not a bad thing that you can't sneak up, because the sound will get their attention. You know, I've had that happen to me a couple of times where the sound of your feet actually get their attention and gets them to be vocal.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, I mean, if you want to carry one on you, by all means.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
As sure as none of us do, then we'll hear a howl or something. There won't be anybody having a recorder on. So.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You know, like when me and Melissa went and we got that roar, I had it on me, but I didn't have it turned on. And ever since then, man, you know, I've kind of tried my damnedest to make it a point to always have one on me and running.
Well, it's kind of Murphy's Law. You know,
that's
sure,
exactly
sure
right.
If something happens, you don't have it. You don't have this. And we've gotten we've had that happen to us, where we've gotten out of the, you know. As soon as we've learned in a lot of cases to, if we're not going to be putting out recorders and leaving them overnight, as soon as we get out of the vehicle or something, have the recorder running before you get out.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
We've been in situations where we've gotten out of the vehicle and no sooner than we shut the door,
it alerts
we
something.
Get a vocal.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We get a vocal and it's like, oh, wow. And it's like I told Johnny that night. It's too bad we were driving down around the Trinity River bottoms. We used to have, and I can't remember who it belonged to, but it was called a sticky pod. And basically, it was a video camera mount that had these great big giant suction cups on it.
Yeah.
And it was either you put it on the roof of your vehicle. And,
oh, that's awesome!
And aimed it, or on the hood of your vehicle, and aimed it, you know, in front of you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then you ran the cords, because if you didn't want to run off of strictly battery power, you would run the cord in, and had a long cord. You could run the cord into your cigarette lighter.
Right.
And then it also had an adapter for a LCD screen. That you could run inside the vehicle. So you could sit inside the vehicle and watch the screen and see what the camera was seeing from either on the hood or the roof. And anytime we were driving anywhere, and we could still do this with the regular video camera without that. But it got to be a kind of a thing for us to go. Anytime we got to a certain point, we would grab the video camera and we would turn it on and we'd start recording until we got to wherever it was we were going, just in case anything, you know, darted out across the road or, you know, was in the ditch or something. And, you know, just play it safe. And we used to do a lot of what we call road running, where we would just very slowly just drive up and down these back roads. Really, really slow, and film, and just, you know, think maybe something might cross, or you know, you might catch something off in the edge of the trees or something. There's just a lot of different techniques. So you carrying a recorder with you at all times when we're in the field.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not going to tell you not to. We're not going. I mean, this is all.
Well,
a collaborative thing.
Yeah, I mean, I have one myself, and I was just going to bring it with me.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, it's a collaborative thing, and we want people to feel free to do, to be comfortable doing what it is, but we want to show you guys what we do, and then, you know, maybe you guys have a different idea, you know, you want to throw at us and have, I know you guys are going to have questions, and but I think it's important for Bruce to and for us to demonstrate, you know, at where we find a location suitable, you know, a suitable tree, how we put the everything up and mark it and make sure everything's there and walk away, you know, and how we do all that.
Yeah.
That way, and Johnny, I think you said you just bought some of those drop boxes. Am I correct?
Yeah, I just got them, and they're huge. They're bigger than the ones that I had. But they'll still work. I mean, they're just, they're like maybe twice the size of the one I had.
Now, I don't
know. You saw those when we were at the river.
Mike, I don't know how you guys, I don't know, you know, how you guys are on weapons. I don't carry a gun. I don't go anywhere without my knife, but, you know, I don't carry a gun, you know, and I just want to make sure that.
I don't normally carry a weapon. I just, because I don't carry a weapon, I'm 10 times more as cautious about what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about squatch. I'm not worried about.
It's the other thing.
I'm worried about hogs.
And that's why I carry that. Hogs. And that's why I carry that. I carry that foot long knife.
Yeah. You know, I have my tree, what I call my tree knocker. I have a specific club that I hand carved I use for tree knocking, and I carry that with me. You know, that's about it. And I know that sounds stupid to a lot of people, but and my grandfather would probably, you know, pop me in the back of the head.
I don't think it sounds stupid at all. You know,
well, his cardinal rule was that he always used to tell me, it's a foolish man that goes into the woods unarmed. And it was not because of you were going out there to kill something.
Right.
It was always for protection, you know. And, I mean, he always carried a gun with him, even if he was just going out there to go fishing.
But
you know, he would carry a pistol, at least.
Yeah. You know, you guys have seen my videos, particularly the one last night, enough to see how I do it, you know. I believe that, you know, being aware of your surroundings is your first line of protection.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's, I don't know if you guys run your headlamps when you're out there. I guess you have to for snakes.
We don't necessarily. I mean,
here's one thing. This is something I was gonna. I'll bring up. Headlamps and lights and flashlights and all that kind of stuff is number one. I know it sounds, may some people are gonna argue with you about it, but because they're gonna, you know, and then I agree. You know, the squatches are gonna know you're there long before
that
you
light
know
hits
they're
them.
There.
Yeah.
But I always am one of those guys, if you have a red light or an amber-colored light instead of a white light, I always prefer that to be used over a white light.
The only thing that's bad about that I've found is eye shine will reflect if it's close. You know, and
right.
If you're talking about boars and wild hogs and whatnot over in your area, you know, personally, I don't want those things to get that close. I want to see their eyes long before they're that close. But, I mean, you know, whatever helps us to get what we're looking for is the main
right.
thing.
I think what I do usually is I've got a spotlight.
Yeah.
And I carry it in my hand. And it's shaped kind of like a gun, you know, and I'll carry it in my hand with it off most of the time. And if I have my headlamp on, my headlamp will go with the red lens.
Yeah.
And, I'll use those just to see where I'm walking. And then if we hear something out in the woods or think there's something out there that we need to light for, then I've got it in my hand.
That's what I do in the wintertime.
Right.
In the summertime, being on this paved road, it's a little bit more dangerous for snakes because that's where they like to go at night is to warm up. But one thing that is going to benefit us is judging by the full moon cycle, we should have a good full moon when we're out there, or a bright moon at least.
That'd be cool. Yeah, then we didn't need very much cloud out there.
Yeah. And actually, I've got I got another little trick up my sleeve that I've been kind of holding back on talking about. for the Falk trip.
Okay.
But I'll let the cat out of the bag. I got a buddy of mine that's in the group, and he's worked with Dr. Bamanek. I don't know if you know who Dr. Bamanek is.
Yeah, I've seen him on various shows.
Yeah. Well, he has, Scott Kessler has, and has agreed to let me use them, a container of the pheromone chips.
Oh, wow.
From Dr. Bamanek. So we have thermal, we have IR, probably a dozen or more digital recorders.
Well, y'all can carry the pheromone chips. I'm not looking to get humped by a Sasquatch.
Well, now, you know what, John? I was gonna take and put one on the string, and then just tie it to your belt loop and let you drag it behind
you.
Yes.
That's so messed up.
And say, hey, Brian, if you want to go off on your own like you do at home, God, go ahead. We'll be behind you.
Now we're talking Bigfoot porn like J.M. Bailey was accused of.
Oh, my God. No,
we were talking earlier about – go ahead, Mike.
No, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
I just got to go back to something we – was talking about earlier when we were talking about missing stuff because you didn't have the recorder on or whatever.
Right.
It's like when me and Michael was out at the Trinity River and we saw that tree. You saw the video. And as soon as Mike turned it off to switch positions, and as soon as he turned it off, we heard another one break out in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
That seems to be the luck. You know, over here, and you guys have heard me, you know, talk time and again. Over here, I seem to get what I like to call log slamming, and that's the best thing I can say. It sounds like is you know, them slamming a log to the ground, very loud. There's also the occasional tree knocks, and you know, I was really expecting last night when I was out there and I saw the deer. I kept hearing something and smelling something. But as far as full-on movement or anything really clear, that didn't happen. The one incident, if you watch the video, that was interesting was when I saw the deer and it kept looking up the hill in the same area that I was hearing, you know, like something following me. Coincidental, yes, you know. That's the thing about this. There's a lot of coincidence. But when you stop and look at a deer as many times as I have, and you get something either thrown at you or something slammed to the ground, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there's something there with opposable thumbs, you know, to be able to throw. And when you hear a tree knock, you know, that's evident. I mean, come on, you know. What else can do that, you know?
Right.
Especially.
Yeah.
And you know, you guys mentioned something earlier about sneaking up. I got lucky that time with Melissa when we snuck up behind that one. We got real lucky that night. And Johnny, you and I have talked about this with the coyote that got ripped apart. Yeah, we got real lucky that night. I don't want to sneak up on one. You know, and I was thinking about it last night. I was over around the spillway. There's a spillway in my area, and the water's running so, you know, so fast and so loud. And you know, when I've gone out there with my son and my kids, I've told them, hey, you better be on extra guard coming up around this spillway, because not only can you not hear if anything's down there, but that cannot hear you, you know, walking up. And I got to thinking about it last night, and I'm like, you know, I think, that, I mean, that for anybody thinking about going out there and doing this, It's things like that that make the difference, you know, being aware of your surroundings. You know, if you can't hear because you're near running water, like a creek or a stream or something like that, then chances are if there's something down there, it's not going to be able to hear you either. And I think that's why a lot of the Sasquatch encounters where people actually see these things are close to running water, because these things don't notice them or hear them until they're right there on top of them, and vice versa.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just little things like that, you know. You know, if someone who has never been outdoors or outdoors a lot, they wouldn't even think of that. You know, they just go tromping along, you know, merrily, and it could lead, it, not even with Sasquatch, but any other wild animal, it could lead to a very, very bad situation real fast.
Right. Well, we stay pretty careful when we go in the woods, and we pay attention to our surroundings.
Oh, no, no,
and,
I wasn't referring to you guys.
Oh, no, no. No, I know. I know you weren't. I'm just saying, you know, that's a good point to make, is for anybody, you know, just always know your surroundings and know what's going on, and always know where you're going and what's in that area as far as topography. You know, are you, you know, is there a lot of water? Is it, you know, do you have a lot of thick underbrush, or is it mostly just trees? You know, because if you're in a situation, especially if you run into hogs, are you going to be in a situation where are you going to be able to get to a tree that has a low branch that you can get up to, because, you know, or you have some kind of escape route if you have a wild boar get after you?
I'll tell you what, my ass will be up that tree faster than you can blink.
Yeah, somebody said that messed up shoulder and all.
If it's going to get me, it's going to get the bottom of my feet, babe, because I'm going to be hauling ass.
Somebody said something. I said, yeah, there's one tree out there with a limb about 10 foot off the ground. They said, well, you think you can make that? And I said, well, I might miss it on the way up, but I'll catch it on the way down.
I hear you.
Yeah, so
there's out there in the Sofa River that's got thorns coming out of them.
Here's what I'd like to do, guys. When we go, if possible, I don't know if you guys would do this or not, but I'd like to go out there during the day and see the terrain and have a look around.
Oh, yeah.
Prior to just...
Yeah, that's how... That's how I learned, because I like to go see it in the day, but before I get out there in the dark and look at it. But
definitely.
The way the schedule's working out with you coming in and everything, me and you will be there probably a day before everybody else at least. So they'll give us time to drive around and me show you around some places and stuff.
Without saying too much on air, has that been all taken care of and arranged?
It's being worked on right now. But
I got you.
I know when when it goes down, I know when you're gonna get there and when you're gonna be leaving and all that stuff. So
Right.
I'm going on Tuesday, me and Arlie, and you'll be there early Wednesday morning, and I think Michael and them, y'all are coming Thursday, right?
Yeah, John, Vicky, and myself will be there Thursday. And I think Bruce Dinsford will be there Friday morning.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I'll take Brian around Wednesday and show him a falcon, and show him the eating place over there, and
it's
going to
be a
blast. And then when y'all get there on Thursday, if we can drive around, I'll show you where we go in the woods and stuff.
You know, I talked to Mike Woolley last week. And I was really hoping that he would be able to come out there with us. He's going to be going to Tennessee. He's going to be going out of town. Like I said, I would love to just get everyone together and you know, just make a go at it and have a good time. That's the main thing for me.
I tell you, Brian, there's one thing. I tell you, one of the things that you're going to have to do, now, I don't know, Johnny, if you've been over there, and for the people that are listening, if you haven't been over there, you need to go by, you need to go to the Monster Mart. Go in and see the museum inside. It's free. You just go inside. It's a really cool place.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And the building itself is awesome when you see it, because of what the guy did. The sign that's above the building and everything is really, it's an amazing thing. But what's really cool is if you're going south out of town on the old 71, not the new highway that they built that goes around it, but the old 71, when you cross the actual Boggy Creek, normally when you cross highways, bridges and stuff, there's a sign there that tells you, you know, the big green state sign that says whatever the name of the river or creek is. But they quit putting one up there on Boggy Creek in Falk years ago because they kept getting stolen. So there's no sign to tell you that you're crossing Boggy Creek except the original concrete pillars are on that bridge, and embedded in concrete on one end is a brass plaque that says, and it literally says this, about the same time they were building or making the movie, it says Boggy Creek 1972 on the end of the concrete railing on the bridge.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when you see Boggy Creek for real, the real Boggy Creek, you go, wow,
what's the big deal?
Yeah, what's the big deal? It's not bigger. It's not that much bigger than a ditch. It just sounded cool for the movie, you know, The Legend of Boggy Creek. Okay.
Yeah.
Literally, it's a little bitty branch, a little bitty creek there that's not very big at all, and it does flow down.
I mean, we've got 2 minutes left of the airtime. I mean, we can continue talking if you guys feel like it. I want to thank everybody for stopping by. Thanks, Elliot Guidry, for stopping in. You guys, make sure and check out the show. Swamp Monster is going to be on Discovery Channel next Thursday at 9 Central. Mike, thank you for stopping by. Johnny, as always, thank you for coming on too. Jeff Stewart, thank you for calling in. You know, guys, there's right now I don't have anyone scheduled for next week. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might just do an open call night. I don't know yet. But there's something tomorrow. I mean, you guys know this issue I have with my shoulder. Tomorrow I'm supposed to go and finally get a CT scan done of it. I'm hoping, I got a feeling it's going to mean another surgery. Hopefully everything will be good to go and I'll be, you know, able to. I'm going to be out there with you guys no matter what, even if my arm's in a damn sling. But that's the only concern at this point for me. Is that I'm going to need another surgery and not being fully 100%. But I mean, I've been going out all this time with my shoulder hurting, so what the hell, you know?
Yeah. Before we run out of air time, I want to say something. I wanted to let everybody know that, Skookum's going to be coming out in September. I have another movie called Devil's Deal that Lionsgate is releasing October 14th. And then, of course, everybody needs to go to the Something in the Woods Facebook page, like the page, go over to our fundraiser site and donate so we can finish this movie and get it out to the public. I really appreciate everybody, and I appreciate being on the show.
Definitely, look forward
to October, man. Look forward to October.
Definitely. You know, there's so much that I mean, there's so many questions and so much that I'm wanting to know about the area, and you know, ultimately, I won't know until I get there. But you know, man, I'm stoked. I'm gonna tell you, I'm really, really excited to be doing this. And the main thing is to be down there with all you guys and finally get the complete group together, you know. And
yeah, this will be fun.
Take some group photos, whatever we, you know, the whole nine yards, and really represent. And that's the main thing is, and dude, you know, like I said earlier, it's a bucket list. I mean, it's a dream come true. You know, to be able to go down there and say, "Hey, man, I went down there and I researched in Falk, Arkansas."
Yep.
You know, that's
definitely different. So,
I mean, you know, you guys, I wanted to mention this earlier when we were on the air, but I'll go ahead and mention it now. The one thing that I got Brian Impey sending me pictures to Johnny and Brian. The one thing that I want to do is together, I want to get as much credentials, if you will, and possibly evidence as we can, so that we can all get together and go and represent at like these comic conventions, these Bigfoot conferences, stuff like that. You know, all of us together as a team go enjoy that and have that and take that extra step. You understand what I'm saying? To get us out there.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mentioned T-shirts before to try to raise some money. Somebody, I think it was you, Michael, I'm not sure, that told me that it wasn't a good idea for raising money.
Depends on how you do it.
But I still would like to get T-shirts, Onyx Nights Paranormal T-shirts, even if it's just for us, you know? Even if it's just for us to wear, and like if we do eventually go to these cons and these and so forth, you know, we have those to wear as well. I still want to get that, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Even if it's for us.
Oh,
as a
I
team.
Mean, you know, Texla, we have our own T-shirts and we have golf shirts and we have button-down shirts. So.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I'm not saying wear the Onyx Knights Paranormal shirt the whole time. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying
right. Another
representation of the other group. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying, hey,
right. You know.
Just wear my. I'm not like that. You guys know me better than that. I'm not like that.
No.
But you know,
I
still like to have a representation of all of us.
Oh sure. And again, I appreciate it. I'm going to have to run. And anytime you need me, you know, holler at me.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
I appreciate it. If I can help, I will. You know, Johnny.
Oh man, it's the same here, buddy. I mean, you know, it's the same here. Anything you need, just holler.
And Johnny, I appreciate you, man, and I look forward to talking to you again. And we'll get back down on the Trinity too. And I'll get my other buddy Larry Parks, and we'll go down there and really explore in the daylight, so you can kind of get a better idea of that whole area.
I wanted to go Wednesday when I got off and take my game cam down there and set it up somewhere, but I just never did get around to it, so leave it for a few days. But
holler at me when you get a chance about it.
I will. And I got the game cam came in. Not the game cam, the dash cam, so we can put it on the truck. While we're driving around, we'll have that. And I got a new microphone, and the boxes came in, and working on a couple of new tape recorders or digital recorders. So,
cool.
We're looking good, man. I'm excited.
Well, everybody,
Mike,
have a great night.
I'm sure I'll have you back on between now and,
oh, yeah.
And the time of the expedition. I mean, you've got a lot going on, and I want to try to help you as much as I can as far as promoting all that.
Yeah, Michael, I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
I do want to get Ricky and get you to show me the software if you can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The old wife.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got a bunch of stuff to go through, and I'm... Okay.
You can't learn on the fly. We'll get together on it, man.
All right, man.
Have a great night.
All right, Mike. Thanks again, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Johnny, we're actually in the archive right now, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I'm going to call you as soon as we go off the air, if that's all right.
Yeah, give me about 10 minutes and it'll be fine.
Won't you just call me then?
Okay.
Yeah, won't you just call me when you get a minute? And that'll do it for our show tonight. Again, guys, I apologize for all the craziness in the beginning. Thanks for tuning in, those who have, and I look forward to having you guys listen again next week. I'm not sure exactly what's going to be the main topic or who we're going to have on, but tune in. It's sure to be a great one. Thanks. Have a good night.